listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Jake Neer, in for Stephen Henderson today. Thanks so much for joining us. It was one of the biggest events of the midterm election cycle for Michigan Republicans on Saturday. The state party held its endorsement convention in Grand Rapids. Although it's not yet official, the convention all but locks in which candidates the GOP will put up in November for Attorney General, Secretary of State, and other statewide positions. And going into this weekend, the convention was seen as a key test of Donald Trump's hold on Republican Party politics in Michigan. Would Republicans endorse what have, up to this point at least, represented the establishment of the party? Or would it continue to move farther to the extreme political right and select candidates with the Trump seal of approval? Well, the answer seems to resoundingly reflect the latter of those two options. Here to talk about it is someone who's been covering state politics for over 30 years and who was at the convention this weekend, Michigan Public Radio Network senior state capitol correspondent Rick Pluta. Rick, great to have you back here on Detroit Today.
And I would also point out former Jake Neer partner at the Capitol Group.
Well, that's one way to put it, boss, but I appreciate it. I got to see this unfold on Twitter, which is not always the most, clear way to see what was going on. But give us
it's a sense,
right? Give us a sense of sort of the atmosphere in Grand Rapids this weekend.
No matter how weird it seemed on Twitter and other coverage, it was weirder. it was a typical convention, you know, times 10, that it was raucous and people were yelling and there were noisemakers and you know, things like that. But the big question was what was going to happen in, these major statewide races that, unlike the gubernatorial nomination, is determined at a convention and not in a statewide primary. And probably the marquee race was the one for attorney general that primarily pitted Tom Leonard, who was the GOP nominee 4 years ago and actually came pretty close to winning the race against Dana Nessel. And so there were people who were thinking that, well, you know what, Joe Biden isn't doing that well, that there's a lot of controversy surrounding things like COVID restrictions, that if we give Tom Leonard another shot, then maybe, you know, this could be, you know, this could be the year. But then there was the, that there was, like you said, the Trump wing that was behind blanking name.
Matthew DiPerno.
Oh yeah. My God. Thank you. Long weekend. that the Trump wing, which, by the way, I mean, we should probably stop saying that this is establishment Republicans versus Trump Republicans. Trump Republicans are now the Republican establishment in Michigan.
Certainly feels that way, especially after this past weekend.
And so, there was some, people saying that, that Tom Leonard, given another chance, could actually do the job. And Republicans said, no, we are a Trump party and we are going to go with the Trump-backed candidate who fought the, certifying the results of the Michigan presidential election. And we're just all in.
And to sort of either further summarize the thinking behind why a lot of, I guess, not saying establishment now is difficult. How about, more moderate Republicans were saying about him? I mean, he really outperformed, even though he lost a couple years back, 4 years back, he outperformed Republicans in the state, in statewide races, which, that's why I think a lot of people were saying, well, let's think about this midterm and how much difficulty Democrats are likely to have simply because they control the White House and typically don't do great in midterms when that's the case. Maybe he has a real shot, but now it seems like that's just not going to happen.
And a lot of controversy to work with. And, now they've selected a slate of candidates who are very appealing to, the most dedicated active faction of the Republican Party. But the question is whether or not that they can get people who are sort of center right, who are frustrated with COVID restrictions, you know, the school shutdowns that lingered for so long, that are they going to be, you know, ready for a change, or, you know, vis-a-vis, you know, Biden and Whitmer, or, you know, are they going to say, you know what, things seem to be improving, let's just stick with what they've got. And the Republicans, for good or for ill, have now made this a more controversial ticket, which is maybe more interesting, but are voters right now really looking for more interesting, which means more controversial, or are they looking to maybe, you know, settle down after a tough few years?
So during the convention, we also saw a lot of journalists posting on Twitter and other social media about the way the party was treating you all in this convention. Describe that environment for media. I mean, what did you experience there, including some press badges that were a little unorthodox?
Okay. I'm leaning over. Now, I have two badges. One is just the classic, badge. It's about 7 or 8 inches by 3 inches, and it's, you know, red colored because they want to make sure that delegates know that they're talking to a reporter. But yeah, some controversy was stoked at the beginning, and reporters were throwing them out. And as you know, I collect political memorabilia.
Yes.
And I was, no, I'm getting mine. And this one says, I didn't wear it, but it does say Whitmer Protection Team.
Yeah.
And it's got a little like Marshall's bad, and it says Whitmer Protection Program on it. And it's amusing from the Republican perspective, but not the wisest move, especially, you know, when you're handing them out to the people who are coming to cover your convention. So I'm just putting it out there. But, you know, it was a first. It was a first.
Well,
and they did give us tables and chairs to work on, although the internet connection was pretty expensive. Mm. But I can't say that that was the Republicans or if that was just the venue.
Well, I mean, I think it also sort of is one example of the way that it seems like a lot of we've seen, really contested conventions in the past, thinking about when Todd Corser ran to become the GOP chair several years ago before all the controversy around him. But this feels slightly different because it just feels like the embrace of this trolling mentality is very pertinent there, and as a member of the media, of course, media is a target constantly of that trolling, and it seems like that is sort of the mark now of how Republicans view these kinds of events and their messaging going into the next election.
Well, I will say I never felt personally threatened or endangered, you know, unlike some of the, gatherings outside the state capitol and, things like that. But and look, it is a Republican talking point that, that the media is against them. And that the media is biased and that the media is working toward a particular result. I would obviously argue that point, as would you. Republicans have their own network, or, conservatives have their own network, which, I guess they would argue that, they're just going up against the rest of the media, and we can just agree to disagree on that. But like I said, I did not feel particularly endangered, and probably no more constrained than at any other political convention, in terms of, access to candidates and, controversial figures like that, there was a short availability with media after the convention was over, with the chair Ron Weiser and the endorsed ticket. It was very, very brief. There wasn't really a lot of room for, questions and the opportunity to ask about, all the controversies and things that went wrong, throughout it. But, it had also been a very, very, very long convention. But, this was not something that at the end of it, you don't want, reporters to be focused on the controversy at the end of any convention. But this one was particularly contentious. I mean, there were some delegates who were crying at the end because of how poorly it was handled technically and the, you know, the results of the slate that was selected that, you know, I mean, they've been showing up and showing up and they felt like their party had ultimately been pulled out from under them. And, you know, that the Trump faction had basically, you know, taken over, you know, had really cemented their, you know, had cemented their position and, you know, they're right.
Yeah, yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about that in 1 second, but I want to remind listeners, you're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Jake Neer in for Stephen Henderson today. I'm talking with Rick Pluta, Senior State Capitol Correspondent for the Michigan Public Radio Network. We're talking
sitting
about...
in for Jake Neer.
did I say that? I'm sorry. Sitting in for Stephen Henderson today. We are talking about the Michigan GOP's the convention this past weekend and what it says about President Trump's hold on the Republican Party going into the midterm elections and these statewide elections this year. And we want to hear from you as well. What do you make of the Michigan Republican Party's endorsement of far right candidates who embrace conspiracy theories like the big lie over more moderate Republicans at their state convention this past weekend? What do you think of the GOP's chances in November against incumbent Democrats like Attorney General Dana Nessel or Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson? And we'd especially love to hear from Republicans this morning. How are you feeling about the state of your party in 2022? Of course, the number on the phones is 313-577-1019. Again, that's 313-577-1019. You can also use the hashtag Detroit Today on Twitter. We'll also try to work you in that way as well. And we've already got some people chiming in at this point on Twitter. A listener on Twitter says, I never hear Democratic leaders speaking directly to Republican voters from the president on down. They need to be direct and help conservative America understand how they are being misinformed, espousing the lies of the Fox News world that they are not. What they are depicted as. That's an interesting comment right there. I want to go to Terry in Detroit. Terry, welcome to Detroit Today.
Hi, good morning, guys. Listen, I get that you have to cover their convention, but I can just tell you, as a resident of the state of Michigan, I'm sick of hearing about the Republicans. I'm super sick of hearing about Trump. I think a stunt like saying reporters are the Whitmer protection team, you know, it is so immature. And honestly, you know, we're talking about selecting the people that are going to govern our lives, that are going to be making the rules we all have to follow and live by. And this is their level of maturity. Come on now. I mean, they're ridiculous. They're extreme. And, I a little disagree with the Twitter person who said that the Dems don't speak to Republicans. The Dems have been talking about the fact that all of these conspiracy theories are nonsense. The whole Trump administration was a series of stunts. And it sounds like the Republican convention in Michigan was yet another stunt pulled off by a bunch of immature adults. So, you know, people are talking about this. Some folks just aren't wanting to listen. So,
Terry, I really appreciate your calling and those points today. I hear some frustration in your voice about all of this. I will say that, you know, we are talking about this because it's important. I mean, as you said, we're talking about people who there is a chance that they will be running major aspects of state government come next year, possibly. So, I hear that. I know what you're getting at there. I think this is an important topic, though, and we'll continue to cover it. But we always try to cover it in a way that sheds light on what is going on in a productive way, if at all possible. And on that point, and Rick, you touched on this a little bit in your last point there. Gongwer, Michigan reporter Jordan Hermony tweeted, quote, former Michigan gubernatorial candidate John Love came up to reporters almost in tears during the convention to say that this convention has been one of the most disorganizing and embarrassing events for the party he's ever seen. He says he threw out his credentials and that the party has no idea what it's doing. She continues by saying that Love eventually did start crying and said, this is a joke. It's an insult to people's time that we put into coming here to do this. She's not the only one, or he's not the only one. Former state GOP chair Laura Cox has also been highly critical of the way the convention was run and in turn sort of the entire party, how it's being run. Of course, she lost a battle to continue running the party.
She was pushed out. Yeah.
That's right. And also Congressman Peter Meyer also being very critical of the outcomes of the convention. So what should we make of these splits in the Republican Party? These all really illustrate this frustration, even among Republicans, about what's happening. Do you think this could turn out to be a problem for the party in the upcoming elections?
Well, it is a problem for the party in the upcoming elections. And you know, Democrats are going to deal with a version of it as well, just maybe not quite this dramatic. But I mean, a couple of things to, you know, maybe keep in mind to create some context is, you know, conventions are a small subset of the voting public, and it's the most dedicated of dedicated people who go through the effort to become precinct delegates, to go to state conventions, to be selected to be delegates, to make the trek to wherever the convention is happening. And, you know, and they become, then they leave, and they're sort of, you know, the foot soldiers that are then going to go out and organize the campaign. The technical aspects of way elections work in Michigan is a swing state. And so that period where conventions are held through the primary is where you try to do, you know, is what the parties call secure the base, make sure that they're on board, that they're motivated, that they're going to work, that they're going to donate, that they're going, you know, to just, you know, get the word out on social media and try and keep the dedication going, and then recruit enough swing voters to their side in order to, you know, win the race. And, you know, what they would like to do is win the race, you know, really big, all, you know, all up and down the ballot. So, you know, this is really, you know, we talk about a, you know, fight for the soul of a party. You know, that's part of that. That's basically what happened this weekend. And maybe, you know, where they've got to do the work is, you know, now is secure the base and get people excited about this ticket. And, you know, the people, the John Loves, the Peter Myers, that they're saying this isn't it. These are not candidates who are going to appeal to the centrist voters. And that's what will cost the party in November. It's what, you know, what they're saying.
All right, coming up, we are going to continue this conversation about the state of the Republican Party in Michigan after their statewide endorsement convention in Grand Rapids over the weekend. And we want to hear from you. If you're a Republican, how do you feel about the state of your party in 2022? Are you excited about the direction it's going? Do you like what you're seeing out of this convention? Or are you feeling like you're sort of being left without the options that you personally want to have on the ballot in 22? And also, for anybody, what do you think of the possible outcomes of the 2022 election? Do you think that Republicans have a good shot against Democrats like Dana Nessel or Jocelyn Benson? Call and tell us what you think at 313-577-1019. Again, that's 313-577-1019. Listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Jake Neer, sitting in for Stephen Henderson today. Thank you so much for joining us. We're talking about this past weekend's GOP statewide endorsement convention and sort of what it says about the direction the party is taking, how much Donald Trump still has influence over the party, and it certainly seems like quite a bit given the results of this past weekend. And I'm talking with Rick Pluta, senior state capitol correspondent for the Michigan Public Radio Network, and we want to hear from you as you usually would expect. Our number is 313-577-1019. Again, that's 313-577-1019. You can also contribute your comments and thoughts by using the hashtag Detroit Today on Twitter, and we will work you in that way as well. And Rick, before we get back to the phones and the caller comments, I want to talk a little bit about how confident you think Democrats are heading into these statewide races in November. On one hand, as we said, this should be a tough year for Democrats nationwide, just given the fact that the party controls the White House and that party usually does poorly in the midterms, which has impacts up and down the ballot. That said, I mean, we're talking about candidates on the Democratic side who are incumbents with considerable institutional support, and they're facing challengers in this case with sort of big question marks as to their viability, even within their own party. So, you know, what should we make of that? Do you think that Democrats are feeling good at this point?
Well, if you're, you know, as a lot of people have said, in a state like Michigan, there are only two ways that you should run. And well, one way that you should run, and it's always assume that you're behind. And we should also, you know, point out, just getting back to the Republican convention briefly, is that, you know, there were a lot of efforts to portray Democrats as a radical party with, you know, a lot of references to critical race theory, defund the police, you know, gender politics. And, you know, that was all out there as well. So at this particular moment, the polling seems to show at least a nominal advantage for, for Democrats. But, you know, we've just seen the beginning of the Democratic ticket, you know, take shape at this endorsement convention. And I think you mentioned this, but I'm just going to mention it again, that this is an endorsement convention. Yeah. It's not the final word on the nominations. There will be, because that's required by state law, another convention in August, just like the Republicans, where the slate will be finalized. It's possible that Republicans could turn to a different slate of candidates, but the way that the party rules are set up is extremely, you know, is extremely difficult to do. As a practical matter, this is very, very likely what the Republican ticket will look like. There's not the same controversy regarding nominations on the Democratic side, because at the top of the ticket, they've got a slate of incumbents in Gretchen Whitmer and Jocelyn Benson and Dana Nessel. So, you know, there's that. But like I said, that right now there seems to be a nominal advantage for Democrats, according to statewide polling. But, you know, I mean, a lot could change, and there's a lot of uncertainty there and evolving feelings and opinions about what's supposed to happen as, you know, the state comes out of the pandemic and restarts the economy and people are going back to work and school, and thoughts about how COVID was handled and, you know, how the crisis was managed and, you know, what we should be looking at next as we all return to a life where the normal is not going to be the normal that we used to know.
And before we get too far in, I want to make sure that we are talking about the people who actually did win during the endorsement convention this past weekend. We talked about Matt DiPerno. You know, he not only has he sort of embraced the big lie in Michigan, he's also actively led sort of the extreme right's charge to challenge the results. With a lot of controversy. Also,
he's an attorney who has worked in courts to try and reverse the results of the presidential election in Michigan.
Right, and he's running for he's the likely nominee for attorney general for Secretary of State. The Republican selected Christina Caramo. She's a Trump-backed candidate. Jonathan Osting of Bridge, Michigan, tweeted this weekend that, quote, in her podcast, past. Karamo called herself an anti-vaxxer, opposed teaching of evolution in schools, likened abortion to human sacrifice, and said LGBTQ people and those who have sex outside of marriage, quote, violate God's creative design and are indicative of a culture of sexual brokenness. So we are talking about very extreme candidates here.
It is going to be difficult for this ticket to do the classic tack to the center after they're through with the nominating process. Absolutely.
So on that note, I want to go to Anthony in Southwest Detroit. Anthony, welcome to Detroit Today.
Well, hey, good morning. Yeah, you said tack to the center. I was thinking, you know, if the moderate kind of Republicans you're talking about that maybe they're disillusioned with this direction of the Republican Party, well, if they're going to go anywhere, it'll probably be to the Democratic Party, right? There's nowhere else to go.
And well, there is someplace else to go, and that's stay home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's an option, too. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Anthony, I appreciate that. I think that is a big question that we've been talking about for years, ever since Donald Trump really became the face of the Republican Party, that, you know, will there be moderate Republicans that sort of flock to the Democratic Party? And at this point, it does not seem, I mean, there are plenty of disillusioned Republicans, but it seems like more or less, I have not, maybe Rick, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it doesn't seem like that so many of them have gone to Democrats to move the electoral needle. I think what the question is people who are maybe more independent minded, who don't view themselves as solidly Republican or solidly Democratic, what that means for them this year.
Well, most people consider themselves, a majority of people consider themselves independents. They just don't behave that way.
Right. That's true.
They go largely, a party line ballot. But, you know, like we just said, is they don't have to show up at the polls or fill out an absentee ballot. Or if they vote, that doesn't mean that they have to vote in every race or that they have to vote for the Republican or the Democrat in every race, that they might, you know, decide to, you know, opt for, you know, again, leaving it blank, or opt for a third party candidate just to register their dissatisfaction with their choices with the, with the two major parties. And, you know, that's why every party has a GOTV, get out the vote operation, mm-hmm. which is to make sure that their supporters are likely supporters actually get out and vote. And that is considered a critical part of any campaign plan, the candidate and the party level.
Yes, absolutely. We've got a couple more calls sort of along the same lines here. I want to go first to Frank in Livonia. Frank, welcome to Detroit Today.
Hi, good morning. I've been listening, especially to the first segment of the show, and people don't really vote on these social cultural issues, and both parties, you know, the far right Republicans, and it's always something we're against this and those people are that. When, and here's a, kind of like a gift to the Democrats this year here in Michigan. It's like, let's eliminate the income tax, the state income tax on wages. You go for something, you can acknowledge, I heard the state representative talking this morning and I felt her emotions and I empathize and agree with that. But, acknowledge that thing and then quickly move to an economic issue, which people really are going to drive to the poll. They will go out to the polls. Like you said earlier, a lot of people just stay home because there's, they don't hear anything from either party that really concerns them. These cultural and social issues are something that, you're not going to change people's minds on those things.
Yeah, Frank,
they will not be changed by a political party.
Frank, I appreciate that. Frank, thank you very much for the call. And Frank, referring there to my conversation earlier in the show with State Senator Mallory McMorrow, a Democrat from Royal Oak, who has gone viral in this past week. Someone who I think is trying and hoping to talk more about those kitchen table issues, as you will, Frank. But of course, as we talked about in that conversation, it's sometimes tough amid the quote unquote culture wars to get some of that across because it gets so much attention. I also want to go to Aaron.
There's also a but to that, Jake, which is that the people who vote on those social and cultural issues are the most committed voters.
Right.
And very often those social and cultural issues can act as sort of a proxy for things that are seemingly, you know, unrelated, like tax policy.
Right. Right. And I also should make the point, too, that I think that for a lot of Democrats, especially that it's not just it's not the best way to put this. The idea of allyship, the idea of standing up for marginalized people, is important, and it's, you know, that is something that that I think that many people would say in the context of that conversation. But thank you, Frank. I really appreciate that point. I want to go to Aaron in Jefferson Chalmers. Aaron, what would you like to say today?
Hello. The GOP and the Democratic Party are playing completely different games in the public relations arena. When Republicans make all kinds of outrageous claims saying so-and-so is grooming or this and that, the Republican Party is controlling the conversation, because then Democrats usually, instead of talking about great things they did, why you should vote for me, the Democrats, most of them, feel like they have to spend a lot of time in the airwaves or in the newspaper or online responding, saying I'm not, or the Republicans are terrible. So the Democrats cannot give people a reason to vote for them. They're busy responding to all these wild allegations.
Aaron, I appreciate that, too. That also goes back to my initial conversation with Senator Mallory McMorrow. Rick, I want to get your thoughts. We've got about a minute left here. But I mean, it's an interesting question, because in this case, we kind of see an example where it seems like Democrats kind of got the best of that back and forth. But there is that bigger issue that Aaron's talking about of, you know, when a party is, you know, try to sort of flood the zone, I guess. I don't know if I'm getting into to a wrong technical characterization there, but that it does make it difficult.
That Mallory McMorrow speech was a messaging and fundraising windfall for Democrats. And, you know, Republicans, you know, including the, you know, person that it was directed at, Senator Lana Tice, you know, basically tried to jujitsu that and are largely failing, because, you know, they created and you know, Senator Tice created the opportunity. But, and, you know, once you get that entree, then, you know, that does create a lane to message on, you know, other things as well. Plus, you know, create a base that you can motivate to, you know, get out on election day and do the, or, you know, vote absentee, or, you know, do the other work to, you know, in their neighborhoods and all of that to get voters out to the polls. So, I mean, that was not just, you know, that was not an inconsequential act, nor was it a lost opportunity to message on other issues.
Sure.
Quite the opposite.
Yeah. Rick Pluta, senior state capitol correspondent for the Michigan Public Radio Network. Thank you so much. It's always great to catch up with you, Rick.
Yeah, it's always great to catch up with you, Jake.
All right, tune in tomorrow when we'll talk with an author about why our taxes could be made much easier. This is WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. Thank you so much for listening to Detroit Today.